Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today comes from the last two chapters of the gospel lesson. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. As you listen to the readings today, you probably thought, oh yes, this is the Sunday when we run down that guy Thomas. Doubting Thomas, we have always referred to him as. He was the only disciple who didn't believe. All the other disciples believed. And yet we poor 21st century Christians, we've not seen Jesus either, and of course we believe. What was the matter with Thomas? And while we think about it, what about all those other disciples? There they were behind this locked door. Did they really believe as well? They were there one more time. Aren't we better than they? We sit here in church on Sunday morning believing that Christ is our Savior. How good of us. How faithful of us. How much better are we than Thomas, that doubting guy, and for that matter, all of the rest of the disciples who doubted. But then we read the rest of the text for today. And those last two verbs, or two chapters, are almost an afterthought, it seems, because John has been going on about the events of the ascension, and now suddenly he's talking more about all of the events, all of the things that he has talked about over the last several chapters in his book. So we might want to know, why is it that John wrote his book in the first place? If you page through that book, just reading the headlines, if you will, the topics, as I see in my Bible, I see things about Jesus' teachings, I see things about his miracles, I see healings that Jesus did for people in his time on earth during his ministry. We read there too about Jesus' confrontations with the Pharisees and also with Jesus' passion, that whole story John recounts as he tells it. It is in our text that John explains the purpose of his writing of that gospel. He wants his readers to know that Jesus indeed is the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. But these signs are written that you may believe. So, do you believe? Of course. Of course I do, you would say. I'm here in church, it's Sunday morning, and, well, you really should be here, and that's a good thing. But let me ask you this. Have you ever seen Jesus do a miracle like feeding the 5,000? Have you ever seen Jesus heal anybody or drive out a demon for that matter? But you say, well, of course I haven't seen all of those things, but I believe I'm here in church. And that's a good thing. You're to be congratulated, because typically this Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, is the poorest attended of all church Sundays. So I congratulate you for being here. So, okay, I've got it. You're here, you believe. But let's face it, aren't there times when you don't really believe? Or at least that you question? Times when you wonder and you just really need a little bit of assurance. Some of those times might include when somebody talks about the scientific validity of the theory of evolution. How do you explain those fossils that are carbon dated to billions of years old anyway? Don't you wonder sometimes if God didn't really create the earth more than just 6,000 years ago? Don't you wonder, gee, is this, what's wrong with this story when you have bad things happen in your life or in your family or somebody's some of your other family members, doesn't that cast doubt in your mind, or doesn't that take away some of that confidence that you have? Do you believe then? Well, I struggle with all of those just like you do. But let me tell you what I'm confident of. I'm confident, I believe this with all my heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth to live a perfect life, that he died on the cross and paid for our sins, that he rose again and that he ascended and he sits on the right hand of the Father. And I believe that he will come again. And I believe that you and I and all believers will have eternal life in him. That's what John intended for his readers when he wrote that gospel, when he said our text for today, "But these are written that you may believe." When I was a kid, I remember thinking one dark night I was out looking at the stars. I've always been kind of fascinated by looking out into the universe. I was thinking about God. I was thinking about creation. I suppose I was thinking about my faith and what I believed. And I remember talking to God, saying, "God, if you will just make that one star up there, if you'll make that star a little bit brighter for a little while, then I'll believe. I'll know for sure." And so I watched, and I waited, and I watched, and I waited. Star didn't get brighter. Later, I realized that if that star had gotten brighter, I would probably have said, "Well, what if that was just a coincidence? What if there's a logical, scientific explanation for why that star got brighter? Then where would I have been?" So the question becomes, how many miracles do we need to see or read about or hear about to have us believe in God? A while back, I was asked by another congregation to be on call for pastoral care, and I got a call from the church secretary asking if I wouldn't go see one of the ladies of the congregation who was in church. I'm sorry, was in the hospital. And I don't know exactly where she was in her life. I have a sense that she was thinking maybe the end was near, although she didn't act like it and didn't sound like it. So I went to visit her, and I prayed with her, and after I finished the prayer, and I don't remember exactly what the prayer was, but she looked at me square in the eye and she said, "But how do we know for sure?" There were certainly some doubts in her mind at that point. And the only answer that I could give her comes from 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul says, "So we are always of good courage, for we walk by faith and not by sight." As Thomas found out, as we know already, it's easy to believe in something that you can see or something that you can touch. It's easy to believe in that. But Jesus doesn't scold Thomas for not believing. He doesn't scold Thomas who says, "Well, I got to touch this guy before I will believe." Rather, he uses the words that we read in the gospel lesson today. Jesus said to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me?" Well, of course. He'd seen him, he'd touched him. But for those of us who can't see or touch Jesus, there are words for us as well. Jesus goes on to say, "Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believed." That's us. That's us. Jesus is talking to and about us. We are blessed. We are happy. We are the recipients of God's love and his favor and his protection, all because that we believe, even though we have not seen him. But those are written that you might believe. We believe because we are here this morning and many Sunday mornings hearing God's word. In Paul, the letter to Romans, Paul says, so then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. That's how we believe, by hearing the word. And we continue to grow in that faith by hearing the good news. We continue in that faith by reading and listening and learning of the good news of the salvation of Jesus Christ. We grow in faith because we read, we study, and we hear every week and every day, I hope, God's word. We believe because John says he has written these things down that in fact we may believe. Hearing more and more of Jesus' signs and miracles wouldn't make us believe any stronger or convince us any further or convince someone else who doesn't believe that he should. So it is the Holy Spirit within us that opens our heart, that opens our ears to hear God's still small voice, to hear his guidance, to feel his presence. And so we listen and we hear and we follow and we believe. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, but these are written so that you people here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church on April 23rd, 2017, may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and in believing we have eternal life in his name. In the epistle lesson for today, St. Peter writes this, though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Certainly in this life we will have our Thomas moments, times when our faith, when our belief, when our trust in God is not as strong as we would like it to be. And at those times, all of those things will waver, and we will stubbornly cling to our unbelief. But it is exactly at those times that Christ promises his guiding presence. It is at those times that God comforts us with his mercy and his grace. And it is at those times that our sins are forgiven, and Christ redeems us of those sins. It is then that he reassures us that we have eternal life in heaven, where we will indeed see Jesus face to face. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.